position number 10696, Reel 2.
Mr. Martin, Reel 2.
We fired all our ammunition. We had no oil fuel left, so we weren't able to go anywhere anyway.
How much damage had been done to the ship?
All we had sustained was the shell in the paint locker. We had the hotspur astern, and they thought they was going to sink. So we took all the crew on board. We had quite a lot in our mess that night. He had a lot of casualties, and the chap who I was speaking to in our mess said that there was blood spattered all over the bulkheads where he was, and it was in a terrific state. And when we woke up the next morning, the Hotspur was still afloat. Not to everybody's surprise.
What was their morale like, the crew of the Hotspur?
Not very good. They'd suffered a lot of casualties, terrific amount of casualties.
How did their morale show itself?
Through grumbling? Well, they were just shocked and, you know, subdued, quiet, you know. And we were thinking about, we did have some rum left on the ship. We had a rum issue at dinner time as usual, and there were some Norwegian ships coming past, and we stopped them, hailed them, and offered them rum, and they gave us a lot of cod. And that's what we lived on for a few days, cod rolls and cod livers and fried cod. Everything to do with cod we had. And eventually some more ships came in, and we got some provisions and fuel. And we eventually managed to sail back.
So had there been any casualties on board the Hostile?
No casualties.
Had you seen any German destroyers hit?
We saw all the destroyers that I told you about who were firing the guns, the 5.5-inch guns, but they didn't follow us out. We went in the Klaksvik Fjord and hid up in there. It was a small fjord, and we were quite safe in there. Some more ships arrived, and we managed to get some fuel. I think one of the cruisers came alongside and gave us some fuel. And of course, from there we went back to Chatham, I think. We went and had a bit of a refit. No, we didn't. We went to Aberdeen. We went back to Aberdeen.
What was the morale on the amongst the crew of the Hostile after the battle?
Oh, they were quite high spirits, I think. Especially the thought of going back and having a little bit of a refit.
What did you feel like yourself during the battle? Was it frightening?
Well, it was, yes. At one time, there were three torpedoes went under the ship at once. There was a whole batch of torpedoes coming, streaming. And the captain didn't know which way to turn. He hadn't got much option. And there were three torpedoes went under the ship at once. And nothing happened. He was getting ready for the ship to blow up. They just went, looked around the other side and come out and gone.
Did you feel during the battle that you might not survive?
Yes, especially when the torpedoes went underneath. And also when the tracer bullets seem to be, when the tracer bullets are coming and just going over your head, they appear to be coming straight for you, you know. And then you can feel them whistling overhead. It's just, you think, oh, thank goodness they're gone.
How did the crew perform their work during the battle? Was it done efficiently?
Oh, yes. They were all firing away at the guns and the torpedoes were going. As I say, we never did get rid of those two torpedoes that jammed. We went round and tried to have another go, but they never got rid of them. I think you'll find we had 8 torpedoes, two sets of 4, the destroyers. So we got rid of 6 of them.
Now, you were telling me earlier about some damage that was done to the hostile in the Bay of Biscay.
Oh, yes.
Was that before or after?
That was on the way up. That was on the way up from the tropics.
To where?
To England. I don't know whether we went straight to Scapa or what from there. I can't recall, but I know we were in a tearing hurry to get there.
Which month would that have been?
I couldn't name the exact month, but it was prior to the going up into the Norwegian waters.
Can you describe what happened in the Bay of Biscay to the hostile?
Yes, we were going through the bay in a gale of wind, and Captain D was he wanted to go at maximum speed when he kept calling for more revs. Do you think you can make any more revs? The signals are going down the line, and we're in a single line ahead. And of course, the speed of the lower ship had asked the one that was the slowest if he could manage a few more revs. So we kept just putting on a few more revs to go that a little bit faster. We were going about 32 knots through this gale, and the ships were taking off the tops of the waves. And as they were going down into the troughs, sometimes the next wave went over the top. So you got a terrific pressure. Then you was kind of surging up and shaking it off your back and shooting off the next wave.
Which ships were accompanying you?
This is all of the second destroyer flotilla. The ones that were in the Battle of Narvik. We were a half leader, so we were in the middle. The we were in charge of the Captain Wright, or Commander Wright, he was then. He was a half leader. He was in charge of the other 4 ships at the rear, or the 3 ships behind us. We were in the last 4. We were the second division, you see, of the flotilla. Well, I was on watch, and I went down below, and the 4 lower mess deck, and the ship was going up so fast, and then going down so quickly that you were left in midair, like being thrown up in the air, and then left there, and then the ship went away, and you were still left up in space, and then it would come up so quick and you'd crash. It was a bit frightening to be, you know, in that position. And then when it went down once and the whole tons of water crashed onto the forecastle when it was down, and on the way, as it was being forced up again for the speed, the weight of the waves on the forecastle caused the forecastle to collapse inwards and downwards. Well, in the four lower mast deck on a destroyer, got stanchions, steel stanchions supporting the deck. Instead of a bulkhead, you've got these stanchions. And on top of the stanchions, you've got a big metal support, like an H-bar, going across for the deck. Well, on paintwork on a destroyer, you've got cork mixed in with a paint to absorb the moisture in the ship. So the paint was very thick with all this cork in, especially on the bulkheads. Well, when the forecastle collapsed, where the metal was distorted, all the paint just fell down in layers onto the deck. And the stanchions just caved in like that. So I suppose the forecastle had dropped quite a substantial amount, really, both downwards and inwards. So consequently, the shipwrights rushed down with timbers and shored it up, because that left the captain in a bit of a position, a strange position, because Captain D wanted to carry on going as fast as he could, and he's responsible for the safety of the ship, isn't he? So he's torn between one decision and another, as it were. The safety of the ship, or obeying the orders of the Captain D. we shored the ship up, and then we carried on. It was all timbered up in between decks in the forecastle. And from what I heard from one of the crew afterwards, that it never did. Never was seaworthy after that. It was always awash with water when it went back to the Med after it had been sorted out. Because I was on the
Hero.
Hero, then, of course.
So did that damage that the hostile had sustained in the Bay of Biscay affect her during the Battle of Narvi?
No, she still. Didn't affect her then, no. Didn't affect her performance.
When did you transfer from the hostile to the Hero?
As soon as we got back to Malta, I think, when Captain Wright was made Chief of Staff, I think, Captain of Staff in Malta.
Here you've written that it was on the 24th of August, 1940.
Oh, yes, I suppose it would be, yes. I couldn't really, can't remember the exact dates of these things.
What kind of a ship was Hero?
Quite a nice ship. And the civil staff were quite good. The chief yeoman was quite a nice chap.
She was another HMS.
Bob Cherry, Chief Yeoman Cherry. He was.
She was another H-class destroyer.
And, oh, yes, they're all H-class, yeah. All from the same flotilla, of course.
I think
she took over the job of half leader, what they call half leader. That's how I come to go, you see. The new half leader, I was.
She took over from Hostile?
Yeah, she took over the job from Hostile as half leader.
Whilst you were on Hero, I think that you were in the Battle of Matapan.
Yes.
What do you recollect about that?
I recollect these Italian aircraft dropping these bombs from a great height. And the shells being fired, causing great plumes of water to go up all round, you know. But it never seemed to hit anything except the sea. And great plumes when the explosions from the shells going up. And we were going full speed, chasing these Italians, and they were disappearing into the sunset.
Were they faster than you?
They were fast, yeah, we couldn't keep up with them.
What kind of ships were the Italian ships?
I think they were mostly cruisers, fast cruisers. And they seemed to have plenty of firepower in the stern of them.
Did any of them?
They couldn't, obviously, couldn't get their four guns to bear, could they? Only the rear guns. And we couldn't get our, only our four guns to bear, because we were chasing, you see.
Who accompanied you, which ships accompanied you in Matapan?
I can't remember them all. All you know, the Warspite was there. And most of the ships that made up Force H, I think, were there.
Did you see any Italian ships hit?
Did I see the Italian ships? Yeah, I could see them quite plainly.
Did you see any of them hit?
I can't recall seeing any of them hit.
What impression did the Italian ships make when you saw them? Can you describe what they looked like?
Oh, I've got much idea. I can't remember much about them, to tell you the truth.
Do you remember any of the British ships being hit at Matapan?
No, I can't recall any ships being hit.
You were still on Hero when the evacuation of Greece took place in the spring of 1941.
Oh, yes.
What do you remember about that?
Well, I remember especially my old ship was sunk, and they went on the Rhinek. Well, the Rhinek was in the evacuation.
What do you remember about the sinking of the Hostile? Did you see it?
No, I was asleep. You remember the Hostile?
Can you tell me the story again? Because we didn't record that.
You didn't record that? Oh, well, we were going, we had orders to sail for Gib, you see, and we arranged it so in the middle of the night we'd be passing Pantelleria, which would be the nearest point of danger. Well, when we got off Pantelleria, the Hostile was hit in the screws. And as far as I can remember, they were five men killed on there. And she was in a position where we had to sink it out of the way. So we took the crew off, and the Hero was ordered to fire a torpedo into her to sink it. And I slept through the whole thing when it was torpedoed. And then old Tattersdor and his friend come down and said, "Here, we just sunk your old ship."
This is Mr. Tattersall.
Mr. Tattersdor, who you interviewed,
in Southampton.
Yeah. And then...
What did you feel about the Hostile going down? Did you feel sad about it?
Yeah, I did, yes. And, of course, we had to go back to Malta. And then, as I told you, the crew went on to the Rhinek, which is an old V&W destroyer, and sailed out of the Malta with wooden guns on board. She sailed for Alexandria to be fitted out with proper guns. She left the guns on board for the defence of Malta. And then in the Battle of Crete, the Rhinek was picking up survivors. The Stuka bombers were coming down and putting quite a lot of ships to the bottom. Well, the Rhinek picked up quite a lot of people. They had as many people on board as a ship would actually hold. As many could struggle on board to get a foothold on the ship. And then this Stuka came down and hit the Rhinek, and there was only 9 survivors. All those people on board, there must have been hundreds and hundreds of people on there.
We'll come on to the evacuation from Crete in a minute, but if you can tell me about the about Greece, what you remember about that.
Oh, you want to know about Greece, do you? About the Kalamata Bay?
Please, yes.
Well, we steamed in the Kalamata Bay, and this is a second destroyer flotilla again. And we were making signals to the people ashore. And old Bob Cherry, the chief yeoman, he was signalling to various points ashore. And we were trying to figure out who were Germans and who were English, answering the signals. By deduction of who was making the bad English and who was making the correct English in return. And I remember to the left of us was a terrific smell of scent from a scent factory. The air was heavy with the scent from there. And I believe it was all these... crushed rose petals used to go there into the scent. Anyway, when we got off the shore, I had orders to go as a signalman on the beachhead. So I got all my regalia, the various pistols and various lights and Aldous lamp and hand lamp. Not Aldous lamp, a hand lamp, small hand lamp. And they left me on the beachhead. They just went in on in a whaler, dropped me on the beachhead, and I was the point for the boats to go in, backs and forwards, to ferry the soldiers in. And there was a lot of shooting up on the beach, and I was speaking to one of the chaps who I wrote to, who asked me to contact, he asked for the Navy news to contact anybody who was in the evacuation of Crete.
Of Greece?
Of Greece, I mean. And When he spoke to me on the phone, this chap, he said they were firing at the lights. Did you sense anything to do with that? I said no. There's quite a bit of rifle fire going up and down the beach and in the distance from time to time. And then when the I was reading the signals that they were making to the ships, to each other, and they were saying that they'd have to go shortly because they wanted it clearer there before daylight to get away out the range of the dive bombers, or as far away from them as they could, because if they'd have stayed there much longer, you know, they'd have been easy targets. And that was when I eventually got on board. Old Tattersall said to me, you know, they had to, Bob Cherry had to remind the captain about you still being ashore, they want to go away without you.
Did you see much of the soldiers, what condition they were in?
Well, I didn't notice, but when I went back onto the bridge, there were, Captain Biggs was bringing all these soldiers up a few at a time and quizzing them to find out if he had any Germans amongst them. And he kept saying to him, bringing him up and saying, do you know Walsh and Matilda? There's a lot of Aussies there, you know. But he didn't figure on there was any Germans there, but they sort of questioned them all because they thought there might have been a few Germans there amongst them, as I remember that quite well.
Have you any other memories of Kalamata Bay?
We did go into various inlets at night afterwards and collect a few stray people. And I was in the boat one or two times then, going up on the beaches and shining Aldous lamp into the water to kind of navigate where the big boulders were sticking up.
Did you see
remember
anything?
That?
Did you see anything of the Greeks?
No, I never saw any Greek people, no. I was in a landed party at Pisatari Island in...
Which island?
Pisatalia. That's a little island off Piraeus. I went up to the signal station there once in the war.
Now, coming on to the evacuation of Crete, you were still in the Hero. Can you tell me what you remember of that? Was it worse than Greece?
It was very bad. Like I told you, the Rhinek being sunk. There was a lot of ships sunk there with crammed, actually crammed with people from other ships being sunk again.
Did you see the Rhinek hit?
I saw the Rhinek hit and I saw it go down, yeah. And when I went back to Chatham, I met one of the survivors off there, one of those nine men that got saved.
What did he tell you about it?
He said that he was lucky to be there. There was only eight others beside him that got off there.
So when did the Hero first go into Crete for the evacuation?
I can't recall the exact date, but we were in the harbour there
at Suda Bay.
At Suda Bay, and we had a lot of walking wounded come on board.
How did they get out to the Hero?
They were ferried out, because we were anchored. We never went alongside or anything. We were anchored in Suda Bay. They were just ferried out and came on board. And we gave them our hammocks to sleep in.
Was this during daylight or night time?
I think it was at night time. Or dusk.